crushes when loaded with grain. The swift will not escape, the strong will not muster their strength, and the warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand his ground, the fleet-footed soldier will not get away. And the horseman will not save his life. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked on that day, declares the Lord.
If you haven't closed your Bibles yet, I invite you to leave them open. If you have closed them, then you're going to have to just listen, I guess. Which either way is fine by me. We're beginning a new sermon series when I'm here. I'll be away next week, but when I'm here, we're beginning a new sermon series on the book of Amos. The book of Amos. And it helps us to understand what Amos is saying when we understand where Amos is coming from. And that only makes sense, I think. Amos is a minor prophet. His message is not minor. He's a minor prophet because his book is smaller than, say, Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah. Amos, let's see, where do I start? Amos is preaching pre-exile, so before the exile of Israel. And after Israel's greatness. Israel at this point is 10 tribes. And Judah to the south is 2 tribes. And the way that that works, there was a division, I don't know if you know this at all, but there was a division in the nation of Israel. So we had King David, and Israel was all great with King David. And then Solomon, his son, came on board. You know, wise Solomon, rich Solomon. And Solomon was a great king for a while. Solomon grew in disfavor with God when Solomon started to go off the rails. His son, Rehoboam, came on scene after Solomon was done being king. So David's grandson, Rehoboam. Rehoboam decided that he would implement a tax. And we all know what taxes are all about, right? And there was a big problem with some of the tribes of Israel then. And what they did is they revolted. Jeroboam led the revolt. And there was infighting. There was fighting between 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. And they finally ended up having a split. Mandy, could you put that map on the screen if you got a moment? And so this is what Israel looked like at that time. And I got my fancy laser pointer. Look at that. Isn't that great? Israel to the north, Judah to the south. Here is Jerusalem right there. In the north, Omri in 880 made a new capital city in the nation of Israel, also that was called Samaria. And sometimes Israel is called Samaria. That's where we get Samaritans from. These 2 countries don't like each other a lot. They don't associate with each other, even though at one time they were all brothers of the same tribe. Since the split, 200 years went by, 200 years, several generations went by before Amos. And Amos comes out of Tekoa right there. And he goes up to Samaria to preach the word. The word of God. Now, that's not all. The surrounding nations that surround Israel are influencing that nation to a great degree, as surrounding nations tend to do. But Israel's buying it. Israel has a lot of trade routes that run through it. Israel has a lot of trade routes. They have wealth coming from those trade routes. There's a lot going on in Israel, and the influence from outside countries is really taking a hold in Israel. So much so that King Ahab married a Phoenician woman, Phoenicia's on the coast there, a Phoenician woman named Jezebel. Jezebel, you may know that name. Jezebel. Jezebel manipulates Ahab all the time, but to the point where a huge temple to a pagan god is set up in Samaria in the northern city. So it's a huge influence on that nation. This is where Amos goes. So Amos goes from the southern kingdom into a hostile land to preach against the nations, but ultimately to preach against Israel. So when you hear the word Israel, it's the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes here. It doesn't include Judah, because we will also hear about Judah. Now, in Amos chapter 1, the first two chapters of Amos are all about preaching oracles against different cities and countries. Oracles, prophecies. That's what Amos is doing. And in Amos chapter 1, verse 2, he says these words, which is very important. It's a good setup. Just imagine you're one of the people in Samaria, and you're watching this guy from the south kingdom who you really don't like. You don't like his people, right? You're sort of, you know, skeptical about this guy. And the guy says these words, Yahweh, the Lord, roars from Zion. He thunders from Jerusalem. It says the same thing. Jerusalem is built on Mount Zion. So he roars from Zion. He thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up, and the top of Carmel withers. Important to know that. Mount Carmel, right up there, in the northern kingdom. In the northern kingdom. So the Mount Carmel withers. The top of Mount Carmel is the place where Elijah had the showdown with the prophets of Baal. So when Amos walks into the place and he says, the top of Carmel withers, he's saying, the Lord's telling us that Carmel is going down. And this gets people's minds going. This gets people's ears up. They start listening. And then Amos starts preaching against nations, the surrounding nations, like Damascus and Gaza and Tyre and Edom and Ammon and Moab. And all of these guys, throughout Israel's history, these guys have been bad guys. They've fought against these guys. And so you can just imagine each prophecy is saying, for three sins of enter city, enter country, whatever it is, enter area, for three sins of Damascus, and even for four, I will not relent, says the Lord. And then for each city, he tells them what God tells them what he did wrong, and then he tells them what the punishment is going to be. So for three sins of Damascus, for three sins of Gaza, for three sins of Tyre, for three sins of name your city. And with each one of these cities coming up, you can just imagine the people going, yeah, yeah, you get them, God, and you get them good, because they're nothing but a thorn in our side. You get them. And he goes, Moab. Oh, Moab, yeah, they're on the other side of the Dead Sea. Moab. And then the next one, Judah. Judah. Our neighbors, our brothers to the south who, yeah, yeah, they're a pain too. Get rid of them too, God. And then he says, for three sins of, and people are just tuning right in, three sins of Israel. And even for four, I will not relent. bet you could hear a pin drop at that point. For three sins, and even for four, I will not relent. Now, the sins here, I'm not going to go through them all, but the sins here have to do with taking advantage of the poor and the needy and the oppressed. Taking advantage of them. There's no justice for the oppressed, it says explicitly in what Tim read. There's no justice for the oppressed. They trample on the heads of the poor. They sell the needy for a pair of sandals. Although the righteous they will sell for silver. The innocent they will sell for silver, not gold, not rubies. They'll sell them for silver. They'll sell their own mother. Father and son use the same girl. Detestable. Same servant girl. They lie down beside every altar on garments taken in pledge. In other words, the chattels that they received as in a loan against a poor person, that a poor person, whenever they borrowed money from a rich person, they had to give stuff to secure the loan, to say that we're not going to run away from this loan. And a lot of that stuff included their outer garments, their tunics, their clothes, their outer clothes. And most of the time they said, no, we're not going to take those outer clothes. But these guys, no, they're different. They take the clothes. And they spread them out and they lie down on them beside the altars of Baal. They don't care. They don't care. So God is displaying and explaining to them their sin through the prophet Amos. And then God explains, yet I gave them everything. I destroyed the Amorites before them. I took them out of the promised land. I took them, not out of the promised land, I took them out of Egypt, out of slavery. I brought them through the wilderness for 40 years, and I put them in the promised land. I gave it to them. I opened up the doors. I took out the Amorites before them. I did all this stuff for you, and you're doing all this to other people? I raised up prophets from among your children and Nazarites from among your youths, it says. In other words, people came to you to remind you of who God is. That I am God, says the Lord. Nazarites, does anybody know who or what a Nazarite is? A Nazarite is a person who is specifically set apart for God's service for his entire life. Samson was a Nazarite. It's thought that Samuel was a Nazarite, and same with John the Baptist was a Nazarite. And the few things that had to happen with Nazarites, they could not go near a corpse, anything dead. They could not drink fermented drink, and they could not cut their hair. These were the things that they could not do. And yet these guys are making Nazarites drink wine. They're telling the prophets not to prophesy. In other words, they want to even desecrate the people that God sent to them. They want to shut God up. They don't want to hear about what the Lord has to say because they're too busy worshiping Baal, a pagan god. And then comes the punishment. I'm going to crush you, says the Lord, and nobody's going to escape. Nobody. Even you bring out your armies, bring out everybody. It doesn't matter. When I read this, so the Israelites stand accused today. Israel stands accused. And all of the prophecies that are, or and all the sins that are said in towards Israel, you can find like sins in all the other nations except Judah. all the other nations are sins against other people. How they've demeaned and desecrated and hated other people to the point where it's unbelievable what they did. And so just for instance, in Ammon, in chapter 1, he says, Ammon ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to extend his borders. Disgusting stuff. The same thing happens with Israel. Same thing. And you know what, folks? When I read this, I sing, Amos, you probably could have preached this to us in the 21st century here in Canada, too. Do we sell the innocent for silver? Are we selling the needy for a pair of sandals? Or do we sell people? Human trafficking is huge, huge business. And not just for the sexual gratification, for sexual desires, but also for labor. We sell people. We buy and sell people. It's commodities now. Sexual sin is on the rise. We profane the name of God. And we don't want to hear about it. Our words in our country shut out God. And we are among a people right now that are accepting every influence from everywhere else in the world. You know, when we say that we are a Christian nation, we lie to ourselves because we are not. That ship has sailed a long time ago. Now, I'm not saying that every one of us is guilty of these crimes, but I'm saying that as a whole, as a country, as a nation, we could say pretty much the same thing that Amos said to the Israelites back then. What does it mean for us today? What do we need to do about this? Well, first of all, because we have a light that keeps on going dim in our nation and in our world, that Christ is actually told, we're told to shut up about Jesus, we need to keep on saying the name, Jesus. We need to keep on acting in Jesus' name. And if we act in Jesus' name, that means that we need to be set apart. Now, I'm not suggesting that we set apart ourselves like certain groups do and say we're not having anything to do with anybody anywhere, because that's not the reality in which we live. But I'm saying that it would be beneficial for us if we actually spoke the words. You know, years ago, it used to be that we would say, especially from the pulpit, it's safe to say, you know, just go out and live your life as a good Christian fellow, and everybody's going to see that you're a good Christian person, right? Just go and do that, and they're going to wonder what that's all about, and they're going to ask you questions. And while that may be true, I'm suggesting that we got to do more now. We actually have to say it. Because everybody has good in them. The people that in Damascus and Gaza and Tyre and Edom had good in them too. But the people of Israel and Judah knew better. Because they knew the God, the living God that called them in out of Egypt and through the wilderness and into the promised land. They knew who God was. And you and I too, we know who God is. And so we don't have an excuse. We stand accused too. We have to say the grace of Jesus Christ comes for people who believe in him. We can't say, we can't agree with all the other religions in the world and say every pathway leads to God and every pathway leads to heaven. Because that's not the truth. The truth is found in this. And this says that the only way is through Jesus Christ. That's why we have the cross. That's our whole existence. That's why we call ourselves Christian. But in our world today, even Christian churches are starting not to say the name of Jesus. And it drives me bonkers. They won't say the word God. They won't say Jesus Christ. They say Creator and Redeemer. And while that's true, just say the name. Because it's at the name of Jesus that every knee bows. Not at the name Redeemer. The name of Jesus, every knee bows. Just say it. I think it's time we stopped just living it. Or we started living it and saying it at the same time. In this world, as the lights start to grow dim on Christianity and on things, because we all see it. We all see it. But as the light starts to grow dim, we need to keep that light going, the torch alive. We need to keep it going. May God bless us as we do that. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God. Yeah, we stand accused. But there is so much light. You have provided your grace to us, Lord, while we still draw breath. And we thank you for that, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would enter into our lives and cause situations to come up where we may be bold and stand up for you. And it's going to be scary, God, as scary as it was for Amos to go into that land and to preach that word at that point. It's scary for him. It's scary for us too. But be with us in the scariness. Be with us in our fear. And help us to serve you as best we can in this coming week and in the months and years and decades to come. So that this light will never, never die. Pray that in Jesus. Amen.